So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that was sent to you anonymously via a Google Drive link.
Said it was sent by Vos Verstappen.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that's ready to explode. Oh, it's disgusting.
With insight and analysis.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the perfect F1 podcast to listen to with a nice bowl of Cocoa Pops.
Even turns the milk chocolatey.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake. Is it a podcast? Is it a finger? Or is it Christian Horner's blown penis?
It's very difficult to know. How would we describe ourselves?
It's so blurry.
Is it a penis? I thought it was a sausage.
It turns to milk chocolate.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that doesn't know whether or not the leak is legitimate and wouldn't like to commit either way.
Yeah, he could be entirely innocent. He's been found innocent in a court of law, maybe? Or a room full of Red Bull employees, we don't know.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the podcast F1 deserves. I'm Ollie Pitt, and tonight, from an aeroplane toilet, we're looking back at the first race of the 2024 F1 season. It wasn't a classic, and it was immediately obvious who the winner would be within about four corners, but luckily, there's all sorts of other F1 nonsense going on, which has kept us more than entertained. We'll talk about continuous dominance, anonymous emails, breakfast cereals, and much, much more, while carefully skirting around anything that could get us sued, because we are responsible and professional. That's all to turn the milk chocolatey. Joining me is a man who can barely move. It's Phil Tromans.
Ah, so I met some men on the internet.
Me too. had a very blurry penis.
So I can't actually remember if I've talked about this on the podcast before, but one of my hobbies, at least when I was a lot younger, was rollerblading. And I'm quite old now, but it turns out there are a load of other people who did rollerblading in their teens and 20s who are also quite old now. And there's a group of us on the internet. And we all got together and I went down to an indoor skate park on Friday for the first time in about 7 or 8 years. And I had a lovely time, and now I can barely move.
And beside him is a man who has blisters from Belgium. It's Terry Saunders.
I also went to meet some men off the internet, and now I have blisters on my feet. I was in Belgium, in Antwerp, no less, having a very lovely weekend, and I walked so much around everywhere that in some big boots that I then missed a train because I was late leaving my Airbnb, and the train station was a bit too far away, and my feet were hurting, so I missed a train. So I then had to get a last-minute train from Antwerp to Berlin, which is €200 on the day.
Ooh.
And then the train was an hour late, so I get 25% of that back.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, €200 would get you from, like, London to Hertfordshire.
London.
Yeah.
It's only been a few days since we last recorded, but by gum, has there been news? Most of it well away from the track and down someone's pants. Now, we'll have to be legally careful here. Christian Horner has been cleared of all wrongdoing.
Probably because he's...
But don't think for one goddamn minute that that's the end of it. No sooner was he off the hook than a mysterious someone emailed around 150 F1 journalists, team principals and general bigwigs a dossier containing what seems to be some evidence. What evidence, you ask? Screenshots of WhatsApp messages, purportedly from Horner to an unnamed female employee. And as if that wasn't enough, Max Verstappen's dad, Jos, called for Horner to resign. Good start to the season, then.
Well, ironically, yes. Red Bull had a great start to the season in some ways. But in other ways, it could be the end of the entire company. Is that overstating it?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Were you one of the F1 journalists, Phil?
No, I think it was. It seems to be those who've got a permanent pass, which I do not have. In fact, I've not had any kind of pass for 10 years, so I would have been quite surprised if I'd have had it.
I got it because I have a permanent hard-on. And that's just the email circles you get on if you have the medical affliction that I have.
You've met some guys permanent on the internet. Hard-on. Although we have later, as I suppose everybody has, now seen the link. Which
someone tweeted us the link, and I happily clicked on it.
Yeah.
Did not expect to see Christian Horner's penis.
Well,
did
we see it?
We don't know.
This is
photo
like
number
new,
76,
it's like
by the way.
New black and gold dress or whatever the hell it was the other year.
Yeah.
It could be, but it could also be a finger.
The thing is, it doesn't... It's very, very straight. Now, it really is. I don't want to go into too much detail, but whatever it is
have.
In the picture is... Very, very straight. It's very, very blurry. It's particularly shiny. So it's
moist for me, I think.
Yes.
He's done a spit and a shovel and he's taken a picture.
Now, spit and a shovel?
As in he spat on it and then he shoveled it about in his hand.
It could still be his finger, though.
If
we don't know what gets him off.
If you are going to send a dick pic, why send a blurry one?
To cover your tracks.
But there's no point.
Think about it from his point of view. If he'd done like a selfie camera with his arm outstretched of his naked body and you could see his face and his dick, there'd be no doubt that was Christian Horner. You said,
but we should say there is doubt.
There is definitely doubt.
There is
and
definitely doubt whether
legally,
that's Christian Horner.
It probably isn't, maybe.
Probably, maybe also, isn't, but is a sausage that isn't penis.
I mean, I live in Germany. I've seen a lot of Frankfurters.
They're more brown than that one.
Cool, careful now.
Yeah.
No, but they are, aren't they? Frankfurters have a sort of a brownish quality to the outer
skin.
Could
be a curryfurst.
I will never forget a comedian back in the day doing a bit of material. I forget who the comedian was. That's not very helpful. But it was a good way to have a bit of a jerk off was to get a jar of Frankfurters and take the middle two out.
Oh, dear.
And I can't get that image out of my head.
Just the mess the brine would cause.
I know, but if you think, if Christian Horner allegedly had, instead of wanking off to his PA, had just had a jar of Frankfurt, be in his mess.
He's got a few quid. I'm sure he can afford some.
I know.
He can afford to waste a jar of Frankfurters for sexual gratification.
You don't have to waste them. You can put the sausages back.
You can put them, I thought you were going to say you can put them somewhere. Yeah, okay.
What do you actually think it means for him, though?
Well.
Come on. What's going to happen?
At this stage, I would say it's almost... Is he, though? Because...
Nice with Frankfurters.
He is essentially Red Bull Racing. You know, much as I think we've joked over the years that, he's just Mateschitz's mouthpiece. But Mateschitz is dead now. And Horner has been there for 20 years. He's seen the team through all the success it's had and continues to have now. Why would they want to get rid of him? This is what I haven't quite figured out. Why do they want to get rid of him? And do we even know who they is? That they would seem to be the Verstappens. And I heard today, possibly Adrian Newey is on the other side against Horner. But that's scurrilous rumour and I have nothing to back that up. But like, why do you want to get rid of him? They're absolutely flying. He's doing a really good job. Like him or not.
Maybe. Well, yeah, but there's a power struggle going on for sure. But let's actually look at the ethical grounds here. If he is trying to jerk off to his PA,
yes,
get him the fuck out of here.
And
Red Bull is Christian Horner. Christian Horner is Red Bull. I will counter that by saying Ron Dennis is McLaren.
Well, he was, and he's
not anymore.
He's not, and they haven't won a race. Oh, no, they have won a race, but they've not won many races.
Can you imagine if Ron Dennis was fucking his PA? The text would be so long.
They would, but the pictures would be very clear.
and crisp and clean. Yeah,
probably professionally,
in the background.
Professionally shot.
Yeah.
New ones every 2 weeks.
It'll be that like mottled grey background of a school photo.
Perfectly framed.
So you think Red Bull, though, will, you know, even if Horner goes, you think Red Bull will be all right then? You think they're going to kind of survive this? Because they sound very divided.
They do sound very divided. And if anything, as a slightly separate thing, is giving me hope this year that it won't be complete Red Bull dominance, is that if this continues, Red Bull could fall apart in the way that, frankly, we've seen Alpine do, but worse. Mm. Yep. So, at the moment, Horner is officially not guilty of this. These WhatsApp messages might not be him, but the fact that he hasn't come out and said they're not real, it's not me, there's been very little transparency about that, any of the process at all. Nobody really knows what's going on. This is not going to disappear. And if the rumours about the infighting at Red Bull are accurate, and, you know, there's no smoke without fire, etc., etc., then this is only going to carry on and get worse, and probably get dirtier and dirtier in a sort of political sense rather than a, well, who knows.
What messages will get leaked next?
I would like Christian Horner to have to go to court and prove that that's not his penis. And the only way by doing that would be the judge commands him to take his penis out. And everyone's like, God, it is blurry.
It actually looks so like that. Actually, it was a crystal clear picture. It's just a weird, yeah.
Weird penis.
I mean, it's so weird. It's such a weird story.
It is,
I like
weird.
It. It's hilarious. But we should again say, at the moment, there's no proof, no official proof that he is guilty and has been cleared by somebody after some kind of process. But it's not going away.
Just before we recorded, news was revealed about another shit show at the FIA. Unsurprisingly, FIA boss Mohammed Ben Salayam is in trouble again, this time for allegedly interfering with stewards' decision at last year's Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. The allegation is that he applied pressure to overturn a 10-second penalty given to Fernando Alonso. It later was overturned. What the bloody Noras happened here then?
I mean, this is just the, you know, the racing's rubbish, but everything else is great at the moment. It's all going mad. I love it. So this was, I'm trying to remember, and I did read about it earlier, and now I can't find the page, so I can't remember the details. But basically, this was the thing in last year's Saudi race where he'd got a 5-second stop-go penalty or something like that, and they touched the car too early. Alonso came to the pitch, They touched the car too early. And then, as a result of that, you get a 10-second penalty for not following
the penalty. And that's a slam dunk.
Yes. And then it was overturned. And I now can't remember the reason, but probably somewhere in the archives there's us talking about it and saying how it was bullshit. Or trying to justify it. I don't know. We're not consistent. And it turns out, allegedly, according to a whistleblower, another anonymous whistleblower, maybe the same one, who knows, there's a lot of them about, that this may or may not have been as a direct result of Mohammed bin Sulayem, the boss of the FIA, calling somebody within the Saudi something to put pressure on the stewards. I hope that's clear. That's the kind of cutting-edge journalism you get from here. I wish I could find the article, but I can't. Anyway.
All I know is that Fernando Alonso has put out a statement, well, his people have, saying that he had no idea that this was happening, and he had no idea that Nelson Piquet Jr. was talking to the officials.
Yeah.
Singapore 2008.
Fernando Alonso could be embroiled in any kind of cheating thing. But reading between the lines here, I say reading between the lines, putting my own lines between things. A few months ago, I was talking about my experience having met Mohammed bin Sulayem, because for new listeners, I used to live in the Middle East, and he was the boss of the UAE Touring Club Motoring Association. And I once saw him testing in about 2008-2009, a Renault F1 car, which he lost control of and crashed into a wall. And now he is apparently helping Fernando Alonso.
And
coincidence?
And even though he crashed into the wall, he was still seen as finishing first in that race.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying
he made a phone call.
I'm not saying that every time Fernando Alonso does well, it's because somebody crashed a Renault into a wall. But that does seem to be what is happening. Yeah, I mean, this is. Ben Sulayem can't help himself, can he? Assuming for a second that he did actually do it, because we don't know, and legally he may be completely innocent.
He's got a very blurry penis.
What am I missing? What would his reason be for helping Alonso in particular?
I mean, who the fuck knows?
It's probably, well, it's better for the sport, isn't it? It was the start of the year last year. There's another Red Bull dominance to get it to happen. Alonso's on the podium. It was looking good in that way, I think, that he got, because I think that was right, isn't it? He got the podium.
He does seem to take these sort of unilateral decisions where you just go, I think this would be better, therefore I'm going to make it happen. I think Andretti should be in, therefore I'm going to make it happen. And, you know, process be damned. Or my position, which is not supposed to be interfering with processes, be damned.
And it's maybe one day it will just go the full way of, like, WWF and, like...
Well, it's now in the... I mean, maybe, but it's now in a bizarre position where he's being investigated by the organisation he's the head of.
Right. So is Christian Horner.
Yeah. They should investigate each other. That would be a lot fairer.
Turns out we've both done nothing wrong.
Maybe they were sexting each other. I don't know.
In more shit show news, as we're here shortly, everything has gone to the dogs at Alpine, and unsurprisingly, there have been some changes. Technical director Matt Harmon and head of aerodynamics Dirk De Beer have resigned, and there's been a restructuring. There'll now be three technical directors replacing Harmon: Joe Burnell for engineering, David Wheater for aero, and Kieran Pilbeam for performance. You may remember Kieran as Mark Webber's voice on the radio a few years back. And there's another power unit director, Eric Manyan, as well. Throwing more cooks in the broth will sort it all out, right?
I mean, the thing that I do is that once I've done a really shit job of something, I like to stand up loudly and say, I resign.
Well, we don't actually know why these two have resigned. On the one hand, they could have resigned because they realised...
They've been sexting Christian Horner. Well, they might have been.
Or they've been getting Fernando Alonso off penalties. But it could just be that they've gone, I'm sorry, guys, I've absolutely fucked this up. This year's car is terrible. We've failed in all sorts of ways. The car, like, failed one of its pre-season crash tests, which is why it's so heavy and shit now. But basically, there's been royal fuck-ups. Now, have they resigned because of that and they're taking responsibility and falling on the sword and going, right, we'll step back, sorry? Or is the fact that the car is so shit and everything's gone so wrong because of wider management issues and they've just gone, I've just about had enough of this and I don't want to be a part of it anymore? We don't know. Alpine are not saying.
Anyway, it's time to reset the clock because it means that the 100 races for the first Alpine win starts from now.
But yeah, the fact that now they've decided, oh, you know that one person we had doing that job, it hasn't gone well. Well, what if we now have four people do that job?
I think that always helps, doesn't it? Make it more complicated and have more people to report back to other people.
Mm. There's a famous saying about...
Oh, there's a dog in my hallway. Oh. Hang on, I'll mute myself.
Not a euphemism.
It might be.
Oh, wasn't that a text from Christian Horner, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, the text tone I have for Christian is...
I mean, Alpine, what has happened to Alpine? I mean, they've been sort of hovering around a bit rubbish, but last year they actually did all right, and they've got two reasonable drivers. The drivers are the least of their problems. Like, the drivers are fine. I don't think they're world champions in waiting, but they're fine. They're decent drivers, but they are just... So many balls have been dropped. Once again, we're back to Christian Horner's text, but, you know, allegedly.
Well, tell us how wrong we are. You can do so via most major social medias. We're at For F1's Sake on Twitter/X, Instagram, and on Facebook. And we're on TikTok too. And why not run over and comment on one of our YouTube videos? We're like that influencer you're a big fan of. Or you can email us wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we're right, then why not buy us a beer? Join us at the Whinging Moustache. Within this pub, you'll find bonus interviews and episodes over the season. All this, plus ad-free listening, all for the price of a beer a month. In fact, our first bonus episode is out this week. Phil, what is it?
It is an interview with, I would say, renowned Formula One author and journalist Tony Dodgins, who's been ex-Autosport, ex-F1 Racing, editor of Autocourse, and author of a brand new book, which we talked about, which is very good. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it behind me there with Ayrton Senna's face on it. It's good.
Oh, did you ask him about this week?
Well, we did, because in a... in something he could never have been aware of, the foreword of his book is written by Christian Horner. So we did talk about the goings-on. We did talk about various other contemporary things in Formula One, and we talked about his history in Formula One, because his first full season was 1992, which, of course, was when a certain Nigel Mansell was champion. So somebody else got a little excited about that. But if you want to listen, come to the pub.
And if you want, I'll just give you a little sneak peek. I've got the book here, and Christian Horner's foreword is disgusting.
I've got to question the choice of pictures, I have to say, but...
Yeah.
Well,
but it's like, thanks for the book, Tony. I really enjoyed it. And let's just say...
It is really good.
It's turned the milk chocolate.
It is really good. It's all about legends of Formula One. Not just world champions, legends.
Well, if you want to hear it, you can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You just head to our page and you'll see the link to join. Some people have asked about signing up through other platforms as well. Patreon, Spotify, that sort of thing. We want to do it. Let's just say it'll be ready by Barcelona. Or if you just want to say thanks for doing this for the past 9 years, then you can donate a one-off pint, all three, to us at ff1s.com/pint. After weeks of hype before, during and after the test, we finally got a chance to see how the team stacked up in real-life racing. And it was fairly dull and predictable. Still, we're here to do a job, so a job we shall do. Starting with Red Bull. Max Verstappen took pole position, although not by much, and then won the race by a country mile, proving once and for all that hope is for the feeble and desperate. That's the championship sign up then, right? For fuck's sake, even Perez managed to come home in second.
Yeah. Red Bull.
What was that?
Fucking love Red Bull. I mean,
the drink or the team?
I am a big fan of the team. Yeah. Love them.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I just hope they win.
Who's your favourite driver, Terry?
It. Max Verstappen.
Oh, really? Why do you like him so much?
I love him. I love him. He's just got such a face.
he does that.
He's just got pizzazz.
He does. He's got charisma. I mean, it's the same old story, isn't it? You know, they've completely redesigned
the car.
I
don't want to slag off Red Bull this year. Let's not do it. They're really good. They're champions. They deserve to win.
They're pretty sure you did in the last episode. Starting now.
There's on the track, there's very little we can criticise them for. They've completely redesigned the car, which is a ballsy move. It's worked really well. They've won by a country mile. Verstappen was fantastic. Perez was good enough to be second, fairly comfortably. Can't really say much more, can you? I mean, Perez maybe could have done slightly better in qualifying, but it wasn't terrible. It was certainly not his worst. He was fine in the race. Great.
What was the country mile? How many seconds?
20 seconds, 20-something seconds.
It was about 10 seconds after
22.457 seconds, roughly.
Oh, my God.
And that's him not even trying. That's the worst bit.
Yeah.
Fuck, I hate him. Great.
I was going to say, I know you're fickle, but that lasted approximately 90 seconds.
So do you think they got it set up then for the season? Do you think that's it? Yeah?
Yeah, with the caveat that management might implode and they'll come back to find the factory shuttered and not be able to go to 7 races because they're all too busy having a fist fight inside Milton Keynes.
Probably what's more likely is that it'll be Christian Horner locking himself in the office, getting naked and wanking so hard that he gums up all the lock.
That's disgusting.
Right, well, I'll make sure to clip that for social media. That'll get some new listeners.
Which is
in.
Where we get the phrase, oh, he's Horner the locks. That's that phrase we all use all the time. So, you know.
Christian Horner sat in a corner.
Why can't we get it? Oh, it's disgusting.
Eating some Christmas pie.
Ferrari. As we predicted in our pre-season episode, #insight, Ferrari was the second best team, although we didn't anticipate Carlos Sainz being the best of the Scuderia. Clearly, wanting to show that Ferrari was foolish to dump him, he basically wiped the floor with Charles Leclerc in the race, although, to be fair, Charlie was complaining about his brakes all race. This is all encouraging for Hamilton next year, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, the fact that they were... third and fourth is good, even with some technical chicanery for Leclerc. There is an argument that Leclerc would have been faster than Sainz had it not for his been for his dodgy brakes. But
was it his brakes or was it just him?
It was probably his brakes. In fairness, I did wonder if he was just making his usual silly mistakes, but it was probably his brakes. But I mean, Sainz did really well. That's how, I mean, you know, if he wants to prove his worth to other teams, that's the way to do it, you know.
I'm not really sure what Sainz is playing at, because what are Ferrari going to do? Be like, oh, you're right, we already signed Lewis Hamilton.
No. I think he's given up on that. He's doing the thing of like, you're going to dump me, I'm going to show you what you're going to miss. Look at me, I'm so sexy.
Well, also he wants a seat for next year, right?
And he's got a shop window now. He is in the shop window. He's parading around like a puppy in a pet shop going, adopt me. Yes. I'm adorable.
I think he's more like one of those things in shoe repair shops that just make the one movement again and again and again.
I love those things,
but would you want one for drive for your team?
No, but I would like one that looks like Carlos Sainz to sit in the front window of my house flogging a dead horse.
And it's just him signing a one-year contract again and again and again.
Do you think they use the same mechanism as the Chinese cats? Do you think it's all just the same manufacturer?
They're not mechanised, are they?
I know the answer. I know the answer because I once got into a YouTube hole about making mechanitrons, I think they're called. Oh, there's a guy who restores them, and he made a whole set of them. But they're often the exact same mechanism as all these different things. I don't know necessarily about the Chinese cat, but I do know that the old ones that were made of wood had all like wires and pulleys behind them, but they're very fast.
This is the best thing we've ever spoken about.
You know. Sorry, I was wanking off men in Belgium. So I've got to keep my street cred.
Are you listening for race? You don't have this kind of analysis, do you? No. Anyway, exactly. So Carlos Sainz is made of pulleys, is what you're saying?
Yes.
I believe that.
But yeah, I mean, I think Hamilton at the moment, based entirely on this race and this race alone, will not have any regrets about his decision.
Mercedes. The new Mercedes might not bounce around or win 8 world championships, but it's also definitely not cool because it's overheating and both drivers had to lift off to get through the race. But George beat Hamilton, so should he be Ferrari now?
Should he be Ferrari now?
Well, that's how it's written in the script, but it is be at Ferrari.
Yeah, no,
now.
I think that's fine. We'll keep it.
No, it wasn't. I wrote that bit of the script, and it should he be Ferrari.
Should he be Ferrari? Yes. I think we can all agree that Ferrari should just shut up shop, and George Russell should just move to Maranello and just be there on his own, walking around the factory.
Yeah. All right, Lewis.
Yeah, waiting for Lewis. Lewis gets there next year, and the gates open, and nobody else is there apart from George Russell. It was a weird one this week because while Red Bull ran away with it, it seemed like the two teams that were closest to them, i.e. Mercedes and Ferrari, had actual issues. So I'm not sure we actually got the most accurate view of where the cars are because Red Bull had a stormer and the other two didn't. They all had issues of some sort. So,
yeah,
maybe there's Mercedes are a bit better than we think they are.
So you're saying there's a very slight chance of some hope.
I think
in the overwhelming pessimism of the season.
I think if Leclerc doesn't make any mistakes, the team, Ferrari it up, Mercedes understand their car, and Red Bull implodes by everyone resigning or being fired or being jailed, there's a chance that Max Verstappen might not win every single race.
Hmm.
It is an outside chance.
Hmm. Okay. You want to give some odds on that? Actually, don't.
I don't understand odds.
No, neither do I. Billion to one.
Six to three.
Oh, yeah. Is that good? Actually, a billion to one does make sense to me.
One to seven on.
Seven to two both ways. What? We're talking about.
Start doing some TikTok. Literally, what's it called? What's it called when you do the things at the races?
I don't know. Terry, you look like a gambler.
Terry, by his face, is Googling something entirely different and not listening to us.
Or just gambling.
Yeah. Fucking come on. Oh. Sorry, I put a bet on Christian Horner having an in-focus cock. Damn it.
McLaren. Lando, again, didn't maximise his qualifying run, and Oscar, again, didn't quite hit Lando's not-so-dizzying heights. Where did the pre-season optimism go?
Where did the pre-season optimism go? In the middle of nowhere. Don't know, frankly. Bit disappointing, I thought. Both drivers not shining. Car not really shining.
Yeah.
What's happened? Have they Astoned it up?
Well, if you think about it, if they've gone from where they were this time last year...
Oh, then it's brilliant. Well. Yeah.
If they're going from the end of last year...
Then it's just terrible.
All right.
Yeah. Where were they? 8th and 6th. Mm. Yeah.
But again, it's the problem with Formula One. It's so close at the minute that if you take as red, which you shouldn't be taking as red, but let's say it is for now, that it's Red Bull, then Mercedes and Ferrari, then basically that means that either Aston Martin or McLaren are always going to finish kind of 6th, 7th, 8th or 9th or something. So they're kind of where you'd expect them to be, but we hope they'd be better. Mm.
No, I expected them to be higher up because they were higher up at the end of last season. And that clearly means they've not taken such a good step. And I don't necessarily think the drivers have their greatest weekend either. Like, there were a couple of little mistakes here and there, and...
Well, it's just only all around Piastri's. Kind of
need to tighten it. I tell you who wouldn't have accepted this. Mm. Ron Dennis.
It's only Piastri's second season, isn't it? And
you say only
long enough to know better.
And I think Piastri's good enough that he should have learned everything by now. He's had his rookie season. He should know all the. He should have completed.
Should just be the best.
He's won a sprint race.
Yeah.
He's won a race of sorts.
But we don't recognise it here. Yes.
I'm holding out hope. I think they'll do similarly to what they did last year. And I think Piastri is going to have a surprisingly good season.
I think they'll win a race this year.
I mean, if they do, I think it'll be in the second. I don't think anybody but Red Bull's going to win a race in the first half of this season.
Yeah.
I don't think... I'm a betting man. I don't think that Red Bull will be racing by the end of the year.
I mean, that would be a surprise. The whole operation
3-6 both ways. I'll give you odds on that.
We're swinging both ways on this one.
I don't know what that means.
I do.
Aston Martin. Stroll got spun at the start and made it back up to 10th, and Alonso had a stellar qualifying and went down to 9th. Great!
I'd actually like to say I was quite impressed by Lance Stroll in this race. Have we seen like a new Lance Stroll? To get absolutely punted at the beginning and be basically last because he got spanned into by Hülkenberg. Mm. And to finish only one place behind, let's be honest, your much better teammate, it's good work. Every now and again, he can be really good.
Should we give him a slow clap?
If, yeah.
He gets a he doesn't get a round of applause, but he gets an applause.
He gets an applause. Well done, Lance.
Yeah, I thought he did very well. And Alonso, I mean, again, it's the car. The car's not quite there, is it? It's not quite there.
I know, but come on. We don't want Aston to do too well this year because I want Alonso in that fucking Mercedes next year. Mm.
Do you? Are you putting your money on that, or is that just a hope?
I've invested in Aston Martin.
When will we find out, actually? Sorry for the diversion, but when are we going to find out who's going to get that seat? Surely, I want to know when we're going to know.
Yeah,
I think because Hamilton's spunked his load straight away. Sorry, everything is just sexy today, isn't it?
The Horner effect,
because Hamilton has jizzed all over Toto Wolff at dinner. No one else has to move that quickly, and it's probably a real kind of. Negotiation contract kind of get. Everyone's going to
there's
be like
so many,
last to blink.
There's so many things to move into different places here. It's like one of those annoying Christian puzzles that I'm shit at where you have to slide one piece and then the other piece and then the other piece and I can't do them. Yeah. But people in F1, I bet they can do them. Bet they can do Rubik's Cubes. And that's what this is. It's a Rubik's Cube, but with jobs.
I've never been able to do a Rubik's
no,
Cube.
No, me neither.
I don't think anyone can.
My wife's trying that's to learn at the moment. So far, she can do one side. I was like, that's not really that great.
It's definitely not doing it.
I've seen 12-year-olds do them in less than 20 seconds, so...
Have you, though?
Yeah, I saw somebody once juggling 3 Rubik's Cubes while solving them. Ridiculous.
No, you didn't.
I did. It's on YouTube.
No.
I mean, it could be VFX, I suppose. Isn't.
Yeah, but like, how would that even be... I mean, how would you even... No, it's impossible.
We don't want to get too sidetracked here.
No.
But this is, you know...
I'm on YouTube.
I'm Horner.
There's a good t-shirt.
That's a segue for you. All right, yeah, we'll get that one done.
And the also-rans.
We should definitely do that. Terry, do that. That won't take long.
I'm making a note.
The also-rans, the Visa Cash App, RB Northern Rock, Rosie Heifers, whatever. Yuki got shitty with Danny and now they're sad. Yuki was the faster driver all weekend and the only reason for the post-race sparks was that Ricardo had a last set of softs to splurge, because why not?
This was all very silly. Yes, I would say that Yuki Tsunoda is faster than Daniel Ricciardo, the Ricciardo-sance that we were all hoping for?
Talking about.
Talking about, thinking might happen, has not happened.
Dreading.
He's still not that great. Tsunoda has been faster, but it was such a juvenile, childish thing to do at the end where he was like... So basically, he had a massive go to his team because they told him to swap positions. And then at the end of the race, after the race had finished, he dive-bombed Ricciardo up the inside. It's basically like aggressive driving. It's like one of those penises that, you know, swerves in front of you because you accidentally got too close to them at a junction or something.
Blurry?
And then when it gets in front of you, it's all blurry.
Exactly. It was such a stupid thing to do. It's like, I'm on your side, Yuki. I think you're better than Ricciardo, certainly at the moment. But why would anyone want to employ you after that kind of nonsense? He's got a temper streak, and he's had it for quite a few years now, and he really should have got rid of it by now.
I
love it. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Bit of temper in the drivers. It's good. That's what you want.
I mean, a little bit here and there, but that's ridiculous. You know, it's not quite, you know, Dan Ticktum levels of silliness, but still.
Williams. The Williams was overheating and Albon had to look after it. Also, the Williams decided to fuck with its own brake settings. Sargent needed a new steering wheel and came in last.
Oh, yeah. Sargent's brakes went absolutely haywire, apparently.
Well, this might be because I was watching a video from The Race, the esteemed Formula One journalists who actually go to races, and there was a real lovely snippet of information in it about what James Vowles has had to put up with at Williams, which is, and I kind of think we joked about this a couple of years ago, but up until last year, the document they were using to kind of put all the bits of the car together was an Excel spreadsheet.
Nice.
And they were building a Formula One car with an Excel spreadsheet, whereas all the other teams have got like bespoke software that
they
like,
should have, you know, air table
Iron Man's it all together.
Least.
Yeah, and they were just like, there's this one guy going, no, I bought Office 95 with the winnings from our Honda.
We have invested in Windows for work groups.
And I don't know, I just found that to be the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
Because imagine him going in, go, right, what's the problem? And they're like, oh, we just haven't got the license key to build the car.
I mean, I don't know if somebody forgot to log into the steering wheel, but from what I've understood, it seems that Sargent's brake bias was just turning itself up continuously. Like something in the computer in his steering wheel that controls the brake bias was just continually pushing it up. So when he got to turn one, like 95% of his braking power was on the front or something, so he couldn't do anything. So he had to pit and change steering wheels. It's like his computer throwing a complete wobble.
You know when you copy stuff over to a cell and you drag down and it just goes up one number? That's probably what happened.
Or, you know, when you put a bunch of stuff on your desk and you've accidentally, like, put something on the mouse and it's doing lots of
things. Exactly.
I reckon there was just someone on the pit wall was like, oh, shit, I'm sick of that.
The Williams office cat was crawling across his steering wheel. Yeah. Anyway.
Stake kick. Bottas said to look out for something a little different this season, so hopefully we'll get used to him dinging Hülkenberg and having 50-second pit stops.
You mean to go on, eh, Valtteri? Yeah, I mean... It was a weird old pit stop. I'd not seen anything quite like that. I'm trying to remember now exactly what happened, but I remember thinking at the time, new one. They couldn't get the wheel on.
Nut. Yeah, because the wheel nut was stuck.
Because it's integrated into the wheel, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think they had to go back. They had to take the wheel back into the pits and like hit it with a hammer to
get
the wheel
out. Did they do
that
or did they bring another wheel out?
They're not allowed to.
Well, that's what I thought.
No, I think somebody in the most high-tech sport had to take a hammer to a wheel nut.
Not a euphemism, Christian. Don't even know what that means at this point. Yeah, I mean, you know, poor old Valtteri. But, I mean, Zhou did all right in a car that we didn't have particularly high hopes for. He nearly got in the points. Didn't, obviously, but nearly.
Nearly.
Well done. Well done.
Well done.
We noticed
you. Nice to see they're using hammers.
And I noticed them. That, certainly under the lights, that car pops more than any of the others. Only we actually noticed them this race.
It's really good. You really watch it spin around and slide to the back.
Oh, are we doing it? Okay.
Nico Hülkenberg got into Q3 in a Haas. Then he spangled the start and finished in 16th. Kevin was 12th.
Yeah. didn't notice them apart from Hulkenberg crashing into Stroll and Magnussen's adorable daughter putting his visor down before the race. That's all I saw of them.
Oh, how sweet.
It was sweet. And I did say at the start, on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, that there should be a new rule where, you know, the old Le Mans starts that they used to have where they all have to run to their cars and jump in and drive away. They should have that, but they all have sort of three-year-olds. They have to run over and have their visor shut and then run to their cars and go. That should be the start.
No, it
of the
has
race.
To be their own three-year-olds.
I mean, some of them might have lots of them. Some of them might not legally be allowed to...
Yeah, but I want to make sure, because, you know, if it's Formula One drivers, they're mean, cold-hearted winning machines. If it's just any kid, they won't mind biting.
But what about, like, what happens if Kimi Antonelli comes in next year? He's like four, he doesn't have a kid.
Then he has to put his own visor down.
But then he'll have an advantage. We'll work it out.
Alpine! The only two people who showed up to work at Alpine this weekend were Ocon and Gasly, so under those circumstances, they did remarkably well.
I mean, it's not quite as bad as a few seasons ago when, you know, teams would not make it to qualifying and were like 5 seconds off the pace and stuff. But in this era of F1, it's absolutely unacceptable. The car's apparently heavy, maybe underpowered or something, doesn't work properly, they couldn't find the keys. I don't know. The car's shit. And I feel quite bad for Ocon and Gasly, who've probably, let's be honest, from the first five laps of testing have gone, fuck, it's going to be a long year.
I bet my gambling is that Ryan, what's his name?
Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, he's got to work some magic now.
No, I think they're going to quietly back out of the deal.
You reckon? Because it's worked with Wrexham.
I reckon Alpine won't exist by the end of the year.
Wrexham, they can barely drive them.
Well, that's almost it, except we need to dig deep into the major problems facing F1, of which there are many. We can't solve them all tonight, but we can make a start, and we've got the man to do it. It is time for the return of the state of F1 with Terry Saunders.
Okay, everyone, strap in. So I have to be careful here, as I don't want to get into any litigious trouble and get a slightly flabby peck pic sent to my phone whilst it's on Do Not Disturb. I also want to be careful, as a woman has come forward to complain about Christian Horner's alleged coercive behaviour, and she has a right to not be ridiculed. And for the rest of you in glass houses with a pile of stones ready, I am not the arbiter of morality, and nor should I be. I'd like to read some of these texts out, but we're a little scared of Mr. Horner's lawyers, who are called Fat Peck and Flat Cap. We even asked... We even asked Jerry Adams to voice them, but apparently that won't fly either. Political correctness, come man. Now, everyone else on this podcast has been in happy relationships for ages and hasn't had to text women to try and get them to want to see and or touch your penis. Now, I was single for a little while back then, and let me tell you that if my text got out, I would be ridiculed. Only not that much, as I already wrote them all in my diary and used it to review the 2022 season. But I'm saying this because someone reading your late night, possibly drunk, Christian is horny texts are not a good look for anyone. But the difference here is that I wasn't sending them to my PA because I don't have a PA or any employees because I'm not very successful. I freelance. The worst you could do is find the WhatsApp messages to myself asking what I'm doing right now. But that's not my point. If this evidence is true, it's so boring to be getting a hard-on for your PA. You're not bloody Don Draper. You're Christian clammy cock. But for journalistic integrity, I will accurately quote something from the trance that drove me wild. In a grammatical way, not in a getting distracted by my own moist, glistening penis whilst I don't seem to have my glasses on kind of way. I just need to show this to someone. My PA? Oh, sorry, I don't know what happened there. No, what most pissed me off is his atrocious spelling, using the wrong your, and at one point not spelling aloud as in you can, but aloud as in girls, which must be doubly hard for Jerry. And he did this no less than two times.
Fewer.
Oh, fuck you, Phil. But did you get that dress?
I did. It's lovely. Thank you.
Have you put it on?
Yes.
Don't worry. I have a solution. Is Christian Horner one of the best team principals of the modern era? Yes. Is he the top of a very successful Formula One team? Yes. Is he a piece of shit? In my opinion, if these are his sexy blurry texts, also yes. Do I not like Christian Horner and his fucking Red Bull team? Another yes. Would I act differently if it was any other team? No. Does he deserve to have his career wrecked if it's proven that a lowly employee didn't want his blurry Godzilla creeping under her hotel door at night? If it's true, actually, fucking yes. I'm on shaky moral high ground here, but from what I can tell, I occupy a level a few feet up from the author of these messages. And as a general rule, speaking very generally, one shouldn't get to be a creep to one's employees and then play the family man with your wife, as she smiles through gritted teeth, probably thinking of all the times she had to suck your dick but kept missing her mouth because it was too fucking blurry. If you want to be a great man, you've got to own up to your worst moments. God knows how many hundreds of thousands or millions of young girls watch Formula One and will be led to believe that if a powerful man wants you to take it up your hotel room, you probably should, because otherwise you could lose your job. Fuck this kind of behaviour, except don't, unless it's consensual and not some kind of power play. But also, and what I think I hate most about this, is your, spelt Y-O-U-R, making me side with fucking Jos Verstappen.
For legal reasons, the leak may not be legitimate and could be entirely faked, and Horner could be completely innocent.
That's it from us, but wait, we'll be back with another episode later this week with another of Phil Troman's race previews and answering your questions in Listener's Corner. Get yours in at wrong at FF1S or on various social medias. Until then, it's goodbye to Phil Troman's.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about the possible return of the Turkish Grand Prix. Might be coming back. I'm in favour of it, but we haven't got time to talk about it.
And to Terry Saunders.
Gerhard Berger had a car stolen, now it's not stolen anymore.
In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1Sake, and follow us on Twitter at forF1Sake. Oh, and check out our YouTube channel where you can see as well as hear us. If you're watching on YouTube already, here's something just for you. However,
it's a blurry penis.
You want to watch or listen, just type in forF1Sake to something and see what comes up. Terry, where can people buy merchandise?
You can buy merchandise, including our new Christian Horner range of T-shirts, at ff1s.com/shop.
We are going to have to design them now.
I've got two in mind. It's great. They'll be up before the podcast is up, I promise.
Are they blurry?
Very blurry.
Thanks for listening. I've been Ollie Peart. Goodbye.
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 Podcast Network.